Good morning, and thanks for joining us this morning on The Way That Leads to Life. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening along. Hope things are going well with you this morning, if you're at home or wherever you are. We're looking forward to a good day. The Lord has blessed us today to live another day, to serve Him, to enjoy all of His blessings. We're looking forward to a good day of worshiping Him at Eastside. We invite you to be with us at the Eastside Church of Christ this morning. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. It's just off Highway 31 if you're in the Athens area. We'd love for you to be with us. We start at 9 o'clock for our Bible study, about 9:50 for our worship assembly. And you're welcome to be with us. If you can't make that, you can check out the services online. We are on Facebook. Our services are live streamed. So you can go to Facebook, look at the Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama, and check that out. Or you can go to our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org, and click on the media tab and the live streaming there to see what's going on and study along with us. Well, as I said, we're thankful for this good day. We're thankful for the new year that God has given us. We've made it into 2022, and hopefully we've got some great things ahead of us. If you're spiritually minded and you're striving to serve the Lord, you're certainly listening to the right program this morning, because that's what we're trying to do and trying to encourage others to do. And maybe you have set some goals for yourself for the coming year. Maybe, you know, you're made some resolutions about financial things or weight loss or whatever it is. But it's great to set spiritual goals. We'll be talking about that this morning. We'll be looking at Philippians chapter 3. If you're at home and you have your Bible, you might want to check out Philippians 3 with us this morning. We'll be looking extensively there. But we'll be looking at what the Apostle Paul says about a goal that he had and how he set it, what he had to do to set it, and what he was doing to accomplish it. And his goal, of course, was ultimately to have the prize of going to heaven and to live his life in such a way day by day that could be accomplished. You know, Yogi Berra is said to have said that if you don't know where you're going, you might not know when you get there. And that is really true about anything you're trying to achieve in this life. If you don't know what you want to achieve, then, you know, how do you know when you've ever accomplished anything? There's nothing quite as helpful as having a clear purpose in life, a goal. So I want to look with you this morning, as I said, at Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to pick up a little bit in the middle of the context. We'll go back a little later and look at some earlier verses. But what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, starting, he says, "What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The apostle says he's pressing toward the goal. He has a goal, and he's pressing toward it. Wish that all of us could be like him in this way. We have something that we want to accomplish that's spiritual. We have something that we want to be that's spiritual. Paul wanted to press toward that. He wanted to be like Christ. That was truly his goal, to know Christ and to be like Christ. And ultimately then, as a result of all of that, to go to heaven. But he says, notice, he says, I press toward the idea of pursuing this new goal. And he left other pursuits behind. Again, looking at verse 13, "I don't count myself to have apprehended." In other words, I haven't achieved my goal yet, but I'm working toward it. But he says, I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. The concept is not that Paul or we, as we press forward in our goal to know Christ and to ultimately reach heaven, The concept is not that we forget that we've committed sins. Paul never forgot that he committed sins. A lot of people look at this and they say, well, you become a Christian, you just forget that whole past life and everything about it and that you ever sinned and all that sort of thing. I don't believe that's what Paul's saying, and I think that's important to understand. Leaving the guilt of those sins behind that have been forgiven by God. Now that's something that may be in view here, and certainly that's a biblical concept, that when we are forgiven, we don't carry the guilt with us anymore. God doesn't want that. We don't carry the sins with us anymore. God doesn't want that. But we don't necessarily forget that they ever happened. The idea that Paul had gotten amnesia about his sins that he'd previously committed is certainly not correct. You can go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and see him writing Timothy there. And he's in full knowledge of the sins that he previously committed. He said, I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He indicates that he was the chiefest of sinners in verse 15 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. He understands that he obtained mercy and that God had forgiven him of those sins, but he hadn't forgotten that entire life. He understood and needed to understand how bad he was so that he might appreciate how good God is and was in saving him and forgiving him. Well, we need that same knowledge when we come to Christ. We're forgiven of our sins. We can forget the guilt of those sins, but it's healthy for us to remember that, yes, they were once committed and they're wiped away only by God's grace. So what's Paul talking about then back when we get to Philippians chapter 3? He's pressing toward the goal, but he says he's forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. What are the things which are behind that Paul is talking about? Well, again, let's go back in Philippians chapter 3 a little earlier in the context. And Paul talks about his previous life before he became a Christian. Some of the accomplishments that he had, some of the things that were his goals back then, and some of his achievements. He says in verse 4, he says, I might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So those were some of the things that meant a lot to Paul in his previous life before he became a Christian. You know, he was a Jew through and through. He was a Pharisee, which was the strictest sect or strictest denomination of the Jewish faith. He was very zealous, persecuting the church, believing that's what God wanted him to do, because at that time, of course, he thought that the Christians were heretics, and so he persecuted the church. And he says, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. In other words, he was keeping the law to its fullest extent, as best as he possibly could, and he was found blameless regarding the law. So these were some of the things that he'd achieved before. And notice, though, he says then in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. What things is he talking about? Well, the things he's just listed. You know, what he was when he was a Jew, what he was when he was keeping the law and persecuting Christians. Those were important to him at one point in his life. But he says, all of those things, those achievements and my status as a Jew, the Hebrew of Hebrews, the tribe of Benjamin, all of that, he says, all of those things I count loss for Christ. And then he says again in verse 8, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. So three times in those two verses, he talks about things that he's lost or put behind him. So when we come down a little later, just a few verses later, to verse 13 that we're looking at, and he says, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Well, what things is he talking about? He's talking about the things that he's listed in the context, those achievements that he'd had, the things that made his life before, that he aspired to attain. Those are the things that he is leaving behind, those previous aspirations and accomplishments. So if we're to pursue Christ, if our goal is to know him and to be like him and ultimately to go to heaven, we can't look back on our previous life. You've got to look ahead. You can't think of those things that were once important to you and have those still enter your heart as, you know, big things in your life, you can't do that and go forward. So suppose your resolution is you're trying to get in shape this year. You're going to, you know, get out and maybe walk or run a little bit, maybe hit the gym a little bit or whatever it is. Maybe this past year you've been doing a lot of sitting on the couch and that was very comfortable for you. Maybe you watched a lot of football or whatever it is on TV, but you just sat on the couch. Maybe you're on your computer and just relaxed or whatever it was. You did this hour after hour, day after day, and you really, you know, enjoyed that. But I want to tell you what, if you're going to get in shape this next year, you're going to have to put that behind you. You're going to have to forget those things that are behind. You're going to have to live a different kind of life if you're really going to get yourself in shape. Well, that's the kind of thing Paul's saying. I've got things in my past that was what my life was all about. That's what I was doing all the time. But I'm putting that behind me. Folks, if we're going to set worthwhile goals as Christians, and especially the big goals, again, knowing Christ, being like Christ, if we're going to set those kind of worthwhile goals, which that's what Paul is saying he did, you're going to have to put the things that made up your life before, you're going to have to put those behind you and forget about them. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 32, Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Do you remember Lot's wife? Lot lived, you know, in Sodom, in a very wicked city that God destroyed. And angels came and warned Lot that it was going to be destroyed, told him to get out of town, told his family to get out of town. You know, he tried to get some of them to go and they didn't want to go. They liked it there, I guess, and they didn't want to leave. And apparently even his wife didn't really want to leave. The angel told them, as you're leaving, don't look back as the city's being destroyed or whatever. Don't look back at the city in longing or anything like that. Just don't look back. And of course, what happened was as they're leaving the city, Lot's wife looks back and the text tells us that she's turned into a pillar of salt. So Jesus reminds us of that in Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Don't look back with longing at the things that you've left behind. Jesus said on one occasion, a little earlier in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 9 and verse 62, Jesus said, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So that's what Paul's saying about pressing on toward the goal here in Philippians chapter 3. If you cannot look back with longing at your previous life and press on toward the goal. You've got to understand this is a whole new life and it's a whole new endeavor, and you need to be laser focused on what you're trying to accomplish, and whatever you did before has got to be left behind. Remember Lot's wife. Remember, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So Once that's done, once you put that behind you, so to speak, and you've got your goal ahead of you, then you press toward it. You keep, as I said, laser focused on that goal. The words that Paul uses are, he says that he pressed on, or he pressed toward that goal that he had. There must be an extension of ourselves, a stretching out for, a pressing forward toward that new goal. Again, you have the word in verse 12. He says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. I press on. And in verse 14, he uses the same word, I press toward the goal. If you're familiar with basketball, you know, one of the defense, extreme defense is called a press. If you're really trying to defend your goal and put pressure on the other team, it's called you. Sometimes if you press them all the way over the court, it's called a full court press. And that's when you're playing defense and you're playing it hard all over the court. Well, Paul says, I'm pressing on toward the goal. I'm exerting maximum effort toward attaining this goal. And here's something that we need to learn about getting to know Christ, being like him, going to heaven. And that is, it doesn't happen by sitting on a couch, folks, spiritually speaking. It's something that you have to put effort into, extraordinary effort. You know, you have to stretch forward toward it. It's not something that just is going to happen to you. It takes a good bit of effort on our part. So you can see Paul and his life. That's what he's trying to do. As he tries to encourage others along this same line, these are the kinds of things that he tells them to do as well. You have to put things behind you and get away from them. You have to run away from certain things and run toward other things. He tells Timothy that, his young son in the flesh, spiritually speaking, in 1 John and 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, he says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things." Well, what things is he talking about? What did Timothy need to run away from? Let's go back to verse 9. "Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some, having strayed from the faith in their greediness, have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So one of the things Paul's talking about is a love of money, greed, covetousness, the harmful lusts that go along with that. When he says to Timothy, "You, O man of God, flee these things." So you got to run away from those things, and you have to pursue, he says, flee these things, but pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. That word pursue, that's like pressing, isn't it? These are things we're running after. We're trying to catch them. And so we exert considerable effort to accomplish that. That's what Paul's telling Timothy to do. Same thing Paul himself was doing, forgetting the things that were behind, what his previous life may have been involved in. He's got to run away from those things and pursue something else. He writes to Timothy again in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, and he says to him, "Flee youthful lusts." It may have been when you were a young person that you just followed your desires, did whatever your heart wanted to do, and maybe did a lot of wrong things in so doing. Paul tells Timothy, you got to flee those youthful lusts. You have to pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So you're not running toward the things you used to run toward. You're running toward some other things. You're extending yourself toward other things. You're going in a different direction, and you have to keep going with all diligence and strength and energy in that new direction. And you can't look back at the other way. So when we go back to Philippians chapter 3, we see that's what Paul's doing in his life. That's exactly what he's telling us he's doing. That old life and everything that made it up, he's running away from that, but he's pressing toward a goal. And I want to talk about the word goal there. It comes from, in the Greek language, of course, the New Testament was written in Greek, and in the Greek language, it comes from an interesting word in Greek. It's the same word that we get our word scope. If you talk about like a telescope or a microscope, something that you look through. So it's what you keep your eye on. And then it became to mean in the Greek language, this idea of a goal. A goal is something that you keep your eye on. It's what you scope, right? And so that's what Paul is saying that he did. He says, this is what I've got my eye on. This is what I'm looking at. Paul presses, he says, toward the goal for the prize. I don't believe the goal is heaven. He's talked about wanting to know Christ. He's talked about being a participator in his resurrection and all of that sort of thing. But the goal is not heaven. The prize is heaven. You know, a goal might be to run a race and maybe to win the race. The prize is the medal or whatever you get when you win the race. So there's a little distinction to be made between what your goal is and what the prize is. Right now, you know, we've got the college football championship series going on, and we've got a couple of teams that want to win a prize, but the goal is to win the games, right? So there's a little bit of distinction to be made. The prize for Christians is heaven itself, and we need to realize that that's something that comes as a result of achieving our goal, which is knowing Christ, living for Him, being transformed to be like Him. Then we receive heaven. But if all we think about is heaven, and we don't think about, well, what do I need to do to be like Christ? What do I need to be focusing on in the here and the now to be like Christ? Well, heaven we'll never get that prize if we don't focus on that goal. And so that's what Paul's saying. Stay focused on the goal. You can think about the prize. He's not saying don't think about the prize. He's thinking about it. But he's focused on the goal. Thinking about the rewards of winning, if you've ever competed in any sort of athletic competition or maybe any competition, if you think about winning while you're competing, if you think about winning the prize at the end while you're competing, it's a distraction to you. While you're competing, you have to stay focused on what you need to be doing in the here and now, in this moment, to accomplish what needs to be done. And so Paul was pressing toward that goal. He was staying focused on that goal. As you go through the pages of the New Testament, you find people that had trouble with that kind of focus. They thought they'd already achieved all that they needed to achieve, and so they weren't trying very hard to do any better. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, he says to them, you're already full. You're already rich. You've reigned as kings without us. In other words, they thought they'd accomplished everything they needed to accomplish. And then he says, having sort of sarcastically said the previous things in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, he says, indeed, I wish you did reign so that we might also reign with you. So they hadn't really made it. And Paul says in Philippians 3, he hadn't really made it either. He didn't think that he had apprehended or accomplished all that he needed to accomplish. That's why he was still pressing toward the goal. As strong a Christian as he was, he knew that he still needed to and wanted to grow. He didn't stay just entirely focused on heaven as if he'd achieved it already. He knew it was the prize to come, and he knew he had to stay focused on this goal of knowing Christ, being like Christ, in order to ever get that prize. Many people, you know, have accomplished great things in this world who never won an award, but they stayed focused on what they needed to do. Someone said all anybody needs to know about prizes is that Mozart never won one. I don't know if that's true or not, but it is the case that, you know, if you focus on just doing what needs to be done to accomplish things, the prizes will come in whatever field of endeavor you're talking about. But stay focused on accomplishing that goal. So the goal in this text, if you look at Philippians 3 again and think about what we've read, what we've looked at, the goal in this text is, in verse 8, Paul says he wants the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He wants to know Christ. In the latter part of verse 8, he says that I may gain Christ. So he wants to have Christ. He wants to be, in verse 9, he wants to be found in Christ. And again, in verse 10, he says that I may know him. So over and over again, it's knowing Christ. It's learning to be like Christ. It's having Christ in his life and he being in Christ. Those are the things that were really his goal. And this goal is achieved by constantly looking to Christ in his word and being transformed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 18, Paul says, we all with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. He's talking about you just keep on looking at Jesus. Jesus is your goal. Jesus is your goal. And as you continue to look at him and focus on him, you become more and more like him. I read a story about a woman who went to a diet center a few years ago to lose weight. And the director of the diet center took her to a full-length mirror and had her stand in front of it at a certain spot. And then he took a marker of some kind and he outlined a figure on the mirror that was a lot skinnier than this woman's figure was. And he outlined that figure on the mirror and he says, this is what I want you to look like at the end of the program. And so this woman engages in, you know, days of intense changes in her eating behaviors and her exercise and all of that sort of thing. And every week, the woman would go back to the center and she'd stand in front of the mirror. And a lot of times she'd be discouraged because her bulging outline didn't fit the director's ideal. But she kept at it. And finally, one day, she conformed to that image. We're looking at Christ and we're trying to conform to his image. And we have to keep looking at him to conform to that image. Transformation doesn't happen entirely overnight. It doesn't happen in a week or a month or a year. It's a lifetime pursuit. Paul knew that. He says, I am focused. I am pressing on toward this goal. I don't think I've made it yet. I've not become Christ-like. I haven't achieved the fullness of knowing Christ that I want to. And so he's still pressing on toward that. But he realizes also that he's pressing toward the goal for the prize. Heaven is at the end of it. heaven is at the end of it. The word prize is only found in the New Testament, at least from this particular Greek word, here in Philippians 3 and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Paul says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." So we're running for a prize, and we need to run pressing on in such a way that we obtain it. That prize, as we said, is heaven itself. Heaven is often depicted in Scripture as a reward for effort. Not that you earn heaven at all. It's a gift of God's grace, but you do effort to attain heaven. Jesus says in Matthew 16 and verse 27, "The Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will reward each according to his works." In 2 John verse 8, the Apostle John says, "Look to yourselves that you do not lose those things you worked for, but you receive a full reward." And so what you see in Scripture is that heaven is like the crown that an Olympic athlete might receive. And that's what Paul's getting at in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You run that race to receive that crown. Run in such a way as to obtain it. I mean, you put a lot of effort into that. So it's this prize for winning. It's interesting that in the games that they held in Greece in ancient times, that prize for winning was often just a wreath made out of some plant or something. Sometimes it was even literally made out of celery. If you can imagine running a marathon or something, or winning some sort of wrestling competition, and all you got was a crown of celery. But that's what they would. That was the prize a lot of times in those competitions. We're running for a crown that's eternal and everlasting. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, "I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also who've loved his appearing." He talks about it being a crown of life, James does in James chapter 1 and verse 12. And Peter talks about it as being a crown that does not fade away, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. It's reserved in heaven for you. Well, what's your goal? Do you want to really know Christ? Do you want to be better spiritually? And do you want that prize at the end? I hope that's your goal. I hope that's what you want. Let's press toward that. Let's put effort into that every day. And if we can help you at Eastside, we'd love to do that. Help you make Jesus your goal. Come and be with us this morning. Get in touch with us if you have an opportunity. If you have a Bible question, feel free to call us at 256-232-4666 and just leave your Bible question there and we'll get to it. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast today. As you live this life this next week, press toward the goal, strive to walk the way that leads to life.